love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam, hands-free, from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's end of season sale is here, and you can shop it from your couch. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair, like up to 50% off outdoor furniture and decor, and up to 70% off area rugs, plus amazing doorbuster deals, and 24-hour surprise flash deals on Wayfair home finds in every style. And get it all with fast shipping on everything right to your door. From furniture to faucets, this is your last chance of the season to score huge deals at Wayfair. Don't let the final days of summer pass you by without shopping these end-of-season savings. So don't wait. Like summer, these savings won't last. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off everything home. Celebrate your holiday weekend with can't-miss savings before they run out. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on a Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid Network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. A Monday to sit in our large armchair and look back on the weekend that was on the gridiron, the NFL Sunday slate, week number 10. The second half of this 2024 NFL season now officially underway. Our takeaways now in the second half of this season. In the middle of November, DRS, each and every week, each and every Sunday, some added significance for a playoff hunt. Same story in college football as well, as every team around the country eyes a berth in the college football playoff. More chaos on the second Saturday in November. We'll look back on the weekend in the NBA. Some college hoops as well. Plenty to get to start off a new week on these 3 hours on the Early Line.
Absolutely fantastic, Ben. I think you hit the nail on the head. Like NFL Sunday, you know, I love that. Absolutely watch. I don't like losing money, which I did yesterday, but hey, that's another story. It's new week, new money. But Ben, Saturday afternoon, I watched my Miami Hurricanes lose in the middle of November, which in any of the past, you know, before the BCS and all that, your season is over. Instead of throwing my television out the window and saying, fire my head coach, you wake up the next day and be like, you're right in it here. Did you watch LSU and Alabama? Now, granted, I don't know how much LSU fans were watching that game, but that atmosphere down in Baton Rouge to start that game is everything we love about college football. And as I stated on my Twitter account, Ben, that game means absolutely nothing last year and the previous 100 years of college football. It was awesome, and teams are still fighting in November. The best college football season we've ever seen, and it's not even close.
DRS, we like to butt heads every now and then, especially in collegiate athletics. I never thought that we would see things the absolute same way when it came to expansion for a 12-team college football playoff, and not just what it would mean by the time we reach the CFP, but everything that goes into finding those 12 teams to get into the college football playoff and its significance throughout the entirety of the regular season. College football in just a moment. An NFL Sunday slate, week number 10 DRS, and that Sunday ended in Houston with a marquee matchup on Sunday night between the Texans and the Detroit Lions. The Lions riding a six-game win streak, a 7-1 record into H-Town, covering in all seven wins, a 4.5-point favorite at close against Houston. And it seemed as though, DRS, the best team in the NFL wasn't Detroit in the opening half, it was the Texans. But Houston was blanked in the second after a 23-7 lead at the break. in Detroit rallies all the way back. Jake Bates, a 58-yard field goal and a 52-yard field goal as time expired at the buzzer, the game winner, as Detroit wins 26-23 to improve to 8-1. Houston does cover as that 4.5-point home underdog, excuse me.
You know I love my Detroit Lions. What a game that was, and Ben, is important. What a second half it was, where the defense really came to play and shut out Houston after Houston scored 10 and 13, respectively, in the first and second quarter. But let me understand this. Sometimes you look at close games and not look at the box. Or, hey, look at that. The Lions won on the road, which I thought they would. I actually thought they would cover, but they didn't. You're telling me right now Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions, and you went on the road and beat a 6-3 football team that was in first place? That's what I take away from this game. Usually good teams need to have a really good game to win against good teams on the road, right? Not last night. They brought their D game and beat the Texans. Yep. That is unbelievable, and I'm so impressed by that.
Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
Let me repeat. Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions, and Detroit still wins on the road against a Houston team that sits in first place in the AFC South, the only team above 500 in that division. It was not pretty. It was gritty. But championship-caliber teams find many different ways to win over the course of a long football season. Detroit put that on display last night. Kansas City, though, remains the only undefeated team in the NFL. In DRS for most of the game yesterday in Arrowhead, that seemed unlikely. It was not pretty offensively on either side, but the Broncos, as a 7.5-point underdog, were looking to pull off the improbable and an upset over KC, driving the length of the field, setting up a 35-yard game-winning field goal for Will Lutz. It should have been easy to split the sticks, except it was not. Leo Chenal blocks the game potential winning kick for Denver as KC survives, finding a new way to win as well, 16-14, thanks to that field goal block as the clock hit triple zeros yesterday in KC Mo.
Unbelievable. And again, the bare minimum. That should be the new t-shirts that Kansas City has. Not like, oh, Chiefs, or let's defend Arrowhead, or Chiefs Kingdom. It should be, we do the bare minimum, but we still win football games. You watch the drive before that. Patrick Mahomes missed a wide open Travis Kelce in the back of the end zone, so they settled for a short field goal, which gave them the lead. But a great drive by the Denver Broncos. But here's what I don't like sometimes, Ben. And it wasn't a 55-yard field goal, but you knew Denver was absolutely playing for the field goal instead of getting just a little bit closer, which may have helped. Now, granted, it was blocked, but you know, the longer the field goal, the lower the trajectory of that field goal, as opposed to a close one that would be within, like, I don't know, 10 or 15 yards closer at this point. But that's just a freak play that happens by a great football team that just understands how to win every single which way, and the Chiefs continue to do that. 9-0. Will they go undefeated? Probably not this season, but looking for that number one overall seed in the AFC, they're trying to lock it down early, Ben.
The Broncos do cover as a 7.5-point dog in Kansas City, part of, if you will, poking holes in the resume of KC, but 9 games, all 9 victories. 3 starts for Russell Wilson, 3 wins for the Pittsburgh Steelers as they go on the road to Landover and knock off the Commanders 28-27 outright as a 1.5-point underdog. It was Russ finding his newest connection. Mike Williams traded from the Jets this past week for the game-winning touchdown with just about 2.5 minutes remaining.
George Pickens absolutely is in heaven right now. Another 5 catches, 91 yards, and a touchdown. Russ just knows how to win. Was he efficient yesterday? No, 14-28. But how about 3 touchdown passes, which was even more impressive there? And how about the final drives and everything? Look, you could have just said, hey, we hand off to Jaylen Warren. He fumbles around the goal line. Oh, no, we lost that football game. Credit the defense and the offense for pulling this one out. Also, keep in mind, Washington, no slouch. That was a good football game. They got a tough one on deck, almost like a look-ahead game this past weekend. But the same thing with the Steelers, who have the Ravens on deck. That was an awesome football game at 1 o'clock that the Steelers were just able to edge the Commanders. And here we are now, the Pittsburgh Steelers sitting at 7-2. A win next week? Watch out, Steelers wrapping up that division in the AFC North. Whoa, boy.
Huge divisional games for both the Commanders and the Eagles on a short week, Thursday night football. You can only kind of laugh about what is next up. The Jets expected to win yet another football game. They don't, Donnie. They just don't. They get hammered in the desert 31-6 by the Cardinals, who have won 4 straight to improve to 6-4.
My best bet yesterday was Aaron Rodgers over 1.5 touchdown passes. Should have been 1.5 yards because he was absolutely atrocious. And this game started off for me exactly the way I wanted to. Down double digits right off the bat. Like, perfect. All you're going to do is throw the rest of the game. Understand this with Aaron Rodgers. 10 years ago, he was athletic in the pocket. He is a statue. And for the life of me, who was your offensive coordinator? Aaron Rodgers. 5 wide receivers, which allowed a jailbreak every single play on him. Who's calling these plays? Aaron Rodgers.
We'll talk about it more later. College football now. Yeah. Ole Miss uses a sensational defensive effort, turns over Georgia 3 times to pull off the slight home upset in the Grove. 28-10 over the Bulldogs, the biggest win in Lane Kiffin's tenure in Oxford.
Not looking good here. Now all of a sudden Georgia's losing the teams outside of the state of Alabama. Tough scene overall. Who knows where they'll find it from here, but this is a far cry from what I thought Georgia was just a few short weeks ago. A flawed football team right now? Absolutely.
Big time. DRS already mentioned it. Miami suffers their first loss of the season on Saturday in Atlanta against the upset-minded Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Plenty more on that game in our second hour. NBA news quickly. OKC off to a great start, but will be without Chet Holmgren for the next 8 to 10 weeks with an injured hip. More around the Sunday slate in the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week number 10 of the 2024 NFL season, starting the second half of the year this week in a full Sunday slate, 12 games that ended on a Sunday night in H-Town between two teams in first place in their respective divisions. The Texans, the only team with a winning record in the AFC South at home, hosting perhaps the best team in the National Football League, that the Detroit Lions. Detroit entered yesterday, DRS, 4.5-point road favorite in H-Town with a 7-1 record and a cover in all 7 victories. Well, they got an 8th win with a dramatic second half comeback and a 52-yard game-winning field goal from Jake Bates, the UFL legend, but they did not cover for the first time in any of their 8 wins this season. Regardless, the Lions will take it. Make it 7 straight wins as Detroit blanks Houston in the second. Down 23-7 at the break. The Lions rally all the way back to improve to 8-1, 26-23 in Houston last night.
Incredible. You take a look at Jared Goff on the season, up for the MVP. Why? Because he doesn't throw incompletions and he doesn't turn the football over. He was 15 of 30 last night with 5 interceptions, and they won a football game against a quality opponent. That is absolutely astounding. And sometimes it does come down to special teams. Any high school coach used to tell you, special teams, 33% of the game, so you got to practice those extra hard. Just making your field goals and making your long distance field goals makes a difference. And you're right about it. Those field goals at the end of the game, I mean, slicing one inside the right upright, slicing one inside the left upright. It all matters. It is a game of inches, and the inches were won here on the Detroit Lions. It makes it so impressive. As we open the show in the 7-7, it wasn't as if we expected, hey, 26-23. Yeah, Goff was 19 of 23, 260 yards, 2 touchdown passes, no interceptions, and a great game. He was a flawed quarterback last night, but the team never gave up and continued to fight. That's what was so impressive, because 23 points by Houston at the half. They were on their way to 30-plus points with an injured offense, saying, like, this isn't the Detroit Lions team that I know. But the defense absolutely rose to the occasion in the second half. You made clutch plays when you needed to on offense. And more importantly, your field goal kicker was down for it last night, man. Knocking through 58-yard kicks for victories, that's pretty impressive. Yeah. Detroit Lions, who for me, Ben, in the NFC, I have over a dozen futures wagers on them to win the NFC. That was a massive step, because home field advantage means a lot. Now, also, Ben, quickly on this, you look at their scheduling. I believe it was 4 out of the last 5 games were on the road. Now, 4 out of their next 5 are home. This is an important stretch here for the Detroit Lions to increase that lead in the NFC North and the NFC overall number one seed.
Yeah, no doubt about it, DRS. They are off to a great start with that. So now 8-1 straight up, and I guess just 7-2 against the spread. Now 44-19 ATS in every single game coached by Dan Campbell since the start of 2021. Still, by far the best cover percentage in the National Football League, 69.5% of their games, 8 percentage points better than the Bengals, who have the second best cover percentage in that span. For Houston, now 4-5-1 against the number, 2-1 ATS this year as an underdog DRS, but no outright victories. Last year in the rookie campaign of C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans, they were great as a dog, 7-4 ATS. With how injured they are offensively, it says a lot to put up 23 points in the opening half. C.J. Stroud was phenomenal. They protected him well. Just wasn't enough. Two interceptions in the second half for Stroud, but the Lions did nothing with it because Jared Goff then threw an INT of his own on the ensuing Detroit offensive drive. DRS, you mentioned Jared Goff in the efficiency in the six-game win streak that is now seven. But in the previous six wins entering Sunday night, Goff had 22 total incompletions in that six-game span, which is one interception. He had 15 incompletions last night in five INTs. And again, somehow, some way, Detroit still wins on the road. Can you poke holes in it? Sure. They didn't cover for the first time in any of their eight wins this year. 49.5 was the closing total. It barely stays under. But championship-level teams find multiple different varieties to win a football game, and the Lions are certainly that. Jake Bates, an absolute legend in the state of Michigan. With the UFL's Michigan Panthers, he set record after record. DRS, in the final 5 minutes last night, he made two field goals, a 58-yarder and a 52-yarder, as time expired to give Detroit the victory. Field goal kicking was a huge story of Sunday, as we will detail looking back on the Week 10 slate. The Lions have a guy who is incredibly clutch. And if you want to knock Detroit, we look back on last year and some of those questionable decisions that Dan Campbell made in the second half of the NFC Championship game against San Francisco. One of the things you could argue, he did not trust the field goal kicking of his team. Now they've got an elite place kicker in Jake Bates, and that could prove all the difference. Yes, the field goal kicker might be the difference for Detroit this year.
Absolutely, and maybe that is the difference where you do have that trust where it's a 47-yarder on the road where you need to win a big football game at 4th-and-4, and instead of going for it, you kick the field goal and try to win the game that way. But also, you came into the game for the Detroit Lions down. Your starting left tackle got injured in practice on Thursday. Didn't give up any sacks yesterday. And again, I still can't get over it. Like, Jared Goff had a QBR yesterday of 29 and a passer rating of 59, and they won this football game, which is incredible. Now, the one thing I didn't quite understand is Aiden Hutchinson obviously gets injured. You trade for Za'Darius Smith. He's at the game and his personal reasons didn't play. That one threw me for a loop at this point. But then again, the Houston Texans side, Will Anderson, he should be back sooner than later. Yeah. Once you get Nico Collins back in the next week or two, that team's going to be just fine. That's a terrible division. They'll win it. They'll have a home playoff game. They just have to worry about getting to the playoffs somewhat healthy here. I still like what I see out of the Houston Texans, but last night, that was a Lions impressive win and basically for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Quickly on the Texans, you are correct, DRS. Yeah. A great opening half for C.J. Stroud in Houston. Ground game last night for Joe Mixon was rather non-existent. But for Houston, Nico Collins is going to be back. Just was not able to play on Sunday, emerging off of injured reserve. The Texans are the only team with a winning record in the AFC South, and the team that is in second, the Colts, who are now 4-6. The Texans swept the Colts in the regular season, already winning both matchups, so a huge advantage, thus the minus 1,000 price that you see in the outlook for Houston. For Detroit, quickly here, DRS, 5-1 price to win the Super Bowl. All of those positions you have looking rather optimistic.
Absolutely, and also keep in mind, New Orleans is a dome. They're going to play one game on the road that's going to be outdoors. The rest, every single one of them in the dome, advantage Detroit Lions.
And that means they will more than likely host everything in the postseason as the one seed. More about the Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We had four teams on a bye during week number 10, so our Sunday slate a little bit limited, only 12 games, which meant that in the early window, we had just seven, but they were really, really good. DRS, one of those games, that was the Commanders and the Steelers in Landover on Sunday afternoon, a matchup between two teams sitting in first entering the day in their respective divisions. Pittsburgh 6-2 atop the AFC North, Washington 7-2 atop the NFC East. And what a game it was. Back and forth throughout, the Commanders opened up a double-digit lead early in the second for Russell Wilson and the Steelers to rally back. Three starts now for Russ in a Pittsburgh uniform. Three victories for the Steelers. 28-27 outright as a point-and-a-half underdog on the road yesterday in Landover. Total of 45.5 stood no chance. It goes well over. Three games this year, DRS, for Pittsburgh booked as the underdog. They have won outright in all three.
Defense was really good, by the way, for the Steelers in the second half, because you saw that the Washington Commanders scored 10 points, Ben. But look at those second halves. Three plays, 0 yards and a punt for the defense. 7 plays, 19 yards and a field goal for the defense. 4 plays, 12 yards for the defense. 3 plays, 2 yards, and then got on downs in that close play with Zach Ertz on that fourth down call, which was the right call in the field. So once again, We're talking about a defense like the Detroit Lions on the road needing some big stops. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense got those stops, and they were opportunistic on offense. And as I said, you know, the fight in the heart of a team that the Steelers have now, you have that long drive, 14 plays, 86 yards, you fumble inside the 5-yard line. That should be game, set, match. But your defense holds them right away, gets the football back and punches it in, then comes up with another stop here. Impressive win for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but also the Commanders. Like, they have arrived and they're here. Yes, they lost that football game yesterday, but we didn't expect the turnaround to be this fast from Washington. I liked what they did in the offseason. They signed a lot of quality football players. They went out and made a major change at offensive coordinator, brought in a head coach that will provide stability and try to shore up that defense. And then you draft a quarterback number 2 overall that looks like he's been playing in the NFL 5 years already. So even though they lost yesterday, still showed a lot of heart and a lot of fight and a chance to regain that momentum against the Philadelphia Eagles on Thursday night. But yesterday, that was about the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's just a winning organization. It's what they do. When they need big plays, they get them. And I love it. Like, Russell Wilson, was he tremendous yesterday, Ben? No, he wasn't. But 3 touchdown passes, and you just see all of the wide receivers engaged. How many plays yesterday? He only completed 50% of his passes, but he was giving his wide receivers an opportunity downfield by throwing that balloon ball that says, you know what? As a wideout, 1-on-1, I love that play. Continue to do it. It opens up the offense. Great win for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But once again, the Commanders, no shame in that loss. That's a good football team.
DRS, you see the numbers on Russ, those 3 touchdown passes, including the game winner from 32 yards out with just about 2.5 minutes remaining to the newest Pittsburgh Steeler, that being the acquisition at the deadline, Mike Williams from the New York Jets. 32-yard moon ball where it looked like Russ was really just throwing it away, and there was Mike Williams in a great ball to score a touchdown. George Pickens, a revelation, right? It was Pickens that kind of revealed that Russell Wilson was going to be the starter because of their after practice work together. When Mike Tomlin, of course, was trying to keep it close to the vest. Well, there you can see those dividends of their work together. 91 yards and a touchdown yesterday. On the pick that Russ threw, George Pickens tried to maul a guy just because he gets so invested in what is happening. First game for Russell Wilson as a Steeler, because in his opening 2, he threw for at least 264 with less than that number. And we know what Pittsburgh is as an underdog. After Big Ben, that is the end of the 2021 season. So starting in 2022, the Steelers are now 14-11. Straight up as an underdog. The Steelers and the Chiefs, the only two team in that span that has a winning record outright as an underdog. But quickly to your point, DRS, on the Commanders. They are still 7-3. And I think in those 3 losses, there has not been a moment where you're like, see, this team's really not built for it to make that deep run. First game of Jaden Daniels' career, they lose to Tampa on the road. They keep it close with the Ravens, but do end up losing by a touchdown at the end. And yesterday, yes, a slight home favorite against Pittsburgh, but that was a great game. In my mind, the Commanders are still going to be a playoff team without a shadow of a doubt. And as you said, a huge game in the NFC East to kick off week 11 on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, 50-50 games, they'll be in them all the time. But I think the Washington Commanders are good enough now at this point in the season, Ben, to win those games they're expected to win, like down the line, the Giants-type games, yeah. the Cowboys-type games. They're not going to slip up on those. They are a playoff team, and I can't wait. What a titanic battle on Thursday night in Philadelphia. All eyes on the city, man. That's going to be so much fun to watch.
Birds an early 3.5-point favorite. Two straight weeks where Thursday night football is awesome. But more from the Sunday slate in Week 10 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week number 10 of this NFL Sunday slate. Around the 2024 season, DRS and I break it all down as we sit in our large armchair and play Monday morning armchair quarterback. Mm-hmm. DRS, now in the second half of this season, there still remains one and only one undefeated team. We talked about it with the Lions. Championship caliber, Super Bowl contending winning teams find a variety of ways to win football games. Kansas City knows that with two consecutive Lombardi trophies and three Super Bowl championships in the last half decade. But a new way to win was found yesterday in KC, in Arrowhead against the Denver Broncos. AFC West divisional duel. The Broncos looking to pull off the upset as more than a touchdown underdog on the road. And seemed as though, Donnie, they would do just that. They got the football back with 5 minutes and 57 seconds left. 13 plays and 43 yards, just grinding the clock away to set up a potential game-winning field goal from only 35 yards out for Will Lutz. It should have been easy, right? Cookie cutter, about an extra point in distance. Except Leo Chanel had other ideas for KC. In fact, it could have been Chanel or George Karloftis or a couple of other Chiefs in there to block the field goal. It was Chanel at the end, and a blocked field goal keeps Kansas City perfect as the Chiefs improve to 9-0, winning 16-14 at home.
This is why the NFL is great. You see last week in a step-up game for the Denver Broncos, they got absolutely smashed by the Baltimore Ravens. So you're coming into this game as roughly that same spread, right? Open up at 9.5, drop to 7.5. Yeah. But the prevailing notion, as always, is Kansas City more than a touchdown favorite? Yeah, you absolutely can't take them. And they lived up to that with a 16-14 victory. They should have lost that game. Credit Bo Nix, too. 22 of 30, very efficient, 215 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and a passer rating of 115. No turnovers from him. That should have been good enough to win the game, and that was a masterful drive to end, because the one thing that's so hard to thread the needle on when you play Kansas City in a close game is, yes, we need to score, but yes, we can't leave them with any time. And you did it perfectly with a chip shot field goal, basically, in NFL terms, where people are bombing away 60-yard kicks, and you get that blocked. How demoralizing that was, because that turns the Denver Broncos team into a 5-5 team instead of a 6-4 team, and the Kansas City Chiefs still on their magic carpet ride for a third straight Super Bowl championship and maybe an undefeated season. The Chiefs weren't wonderful yesterday. Mahomes, one touchdown pass, no interceptions, 266. Kareem Hunt, pedestrian on the ground. They didn't have much going for them yesterday. Instead, this team is now built on Steve Spagnuolo's defense as opposed to the arm of Patrick Mahomes, which is one of the more incredible turnarounds in NFL history. They've always been built on, can we maybe get a stop to now? We're one of the best defenses in the NFL. And yes, we can squeak games out. 16-14, they should have lost, but they didn't. That's the theme of the season, Ben. Hey, Kansas City should have lost. Yeah, but they didn't.
And that is exactly what Kansas City has earned, the benefit of the doubt and the pedigree to pull out a win, even if it's not pretty, even if it's a non-cover, when they are expected to win comfortably. They still find ways to continue to add to the win column. Now 9-0, matching the best start in franchise history. Third time at 9-0 to begin a season in franchise history in Kansas City. They have won 15 consecutive games, the longest win streak since the Packers of 2010 and 2011. But Donnie, that's part of the conversation, I think, around this Chiefs team becoming just the fifth defending Super Bowl champ to start 9-0. Are we going to say at a certain point, as we did a year ago, this is not the Kansas City team of old that we know, not constructed this time to win a Super Bowl and outlast everybody else in the National Football League? Or are we going to say this is what they do? They win football games in a variety of ways. Because, Donnie, when you look at the numbers, Kansas City, 9-0, sure, but just 5-4 ATS. In fact, 1-4 against the number in games where they have been booked as a 5.5-point favorite or greater. Thus, games Kansas City is expected to win comfortably, they are not exactly doing that. 7 of the 9 wins for the Chiefs this year, decided by just a single score, average victory margin for KC of 6.4 points per game. DRS, that's ninth best around the NFL. And Kansas City is the only team in the National Football League without even a single loss. You said this last year in the lead up to Las Vegas on that week on the strip when we were there inside the Super Bowl Media Center. You said it all off season. You said it here in the opening half. If Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are there, it might sound simplistic, but you are going to give the Chiefs the nod. Is that still how you feel?
1,000% in the AFC, because I still don't think they're the best overall team. Because records, again, 9-0, credit to them, they find ways to win. But on a neutral field, let's just say lining up against a healthy Buffalo Bills or a healthy Baltimore Ravens, I probably would lean that direction. But I keep on drilling this point in now. It's Andy Reid, it's Patrick Mahomes, and it's Arrowhead. And it's Arrowhead in January, which it looks like they're going to have home field advantage. Do I think they're going to go undefeated through the regular season? No, I don't. Crazier things need to happen because they're barely winning football games. You still have games like next week at the Bills. You're going to play the Chargers. You're going to play the Texans. You're going to go at the Steelers. Then the final game of the season is at the Denver Broncos, where they might be fighting for a playoff spot at that point. So I don't think that's going to happen, but that's not the big picture. The big picture is not going through the regular season undefeated. It's, do we have the number one overall seed? Do we get that bye week here to rest up? Are we going to be playing games in a 25 degrees or maybe a minus 10 degrees like we saw last year against the Miami Dolphins, but have a home game here in order to get to the Super Bowl? That's what's tough to overcome, because once again, Ben, we don't play on a neutral site here in the playoffs. You play home if you have that number one seed, and Kansas City is going to get it. They're going to be hell on wheels and tough to beat at Arrowhead.
Minus 400 to be the number one overall seed in the AFC. We will talk about a huge game, maybe the biggest of the season so far, on the Sunday slate in week 11 against who? That would be the Buffalo Bills. The Bills on the road yesterday in a spot where many looked and said, this line should be 5.5, 6.5 in favor of Buffalo. Yep. Why is it only 3.5 or closing at 4.5 in favor of the Bills in Indianapolis? Might the Colts and Joe Flacco be ripe for an upset? No, sir. The Bills win by double digits, 30-12 on the road in Indy, covering as a 4.5-point favorite. Over 46.5. Buffalo DRS started the year 3-0, dropped 2 consecutive. Uh-oh, maybe the Bills aren't as good. Since that point, they have won 5 straight, covering in 4 of the 5, favored in all 5. Josh Allen, not a touchdown pass, a rushing score yesterday, but multiple interceptions, and yet the Bills find a way to win. We'll make a point about Indianapolis and the outlook with Joe Flacco that frankly has not been good to bench Anthony Richardson, but the story is Buffalo now 8-2, riding a 5-game win streak ahead of a huge game on Sunday in Orchard Park hosting the Chiefs.
Look, you were down a couple wide receivers yesterday. You acquire Amari Cooper. He doesn't play again with a wrist injury. Keon Coleman's out a couple weeks here, at least here, with an injury to himself. And you find a way to fight through and get it because you got the job done on the ground with 135 yards. But once again, Ben, just going box score shopping here. You tell me that Jonathan Taylor had 114 yards on the ground and you had 3 separate wide receivers with 70-plus yards and you got beat by double digits in your own building because you're throwing the football all over the place, which turns into interceptions and pick sixes. And at home, that's unacceptable. I actually thought Indianapolis was a pretty good side here to take the +4.5 because I thought I'd get a competent effort out of Joe Flacco and a banged-up Buffalo team. But Buffalo rose to the occasion. That wasn't even as close as that 30-20. That game was a runaway here where the Bills were clearly the better side, and that's good moving forward. Let's see if Amari Cooper gets back in that lineup, because this could have been a very easy look-ahead game to the Kansas City game next week. They handled their business. Buffalo now sitting at 8-2. That's really good.
DRS, it was a late touchdown pass to Alec Pierce to push the total over and to make it just a 10-point loss. Joe Flacco now as the starter in Indianapolis, just 1-3 straight up. 272 yesterday, multiple touchdowns, but 3 interceptions. So Kansas City, minus 400 to be the number one seed in the AFC, and of course the conference title favorites at plus 185. They have the head-to-head tiebreaker in front of Baltimore, who has the head-to-head tiebreaker with Buffalo. Who will have the head-to-head tiebreaker between the Chiefs and the Bills? We'll find out on Sunday, Donnie. Buffalo opens as a 1.5-point favorite at home in Western New York.
That's pretty crazy here. That's disrespectful to the Bills, and that Bills Mafia will be showing up. You know it.
It's going to be the game of the year, perhaps, in week number 11. More from Sunday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Field goal kicking was a huge component of our Week 10 Sunday slate. We'll share some of the numbers in just a bit, but that was a huge component of Christian McCaffrey's return for San Francisco, and not just his return for the 49ers following their bye in a win entering, but the return of the third-round draft pick from last season, the field goal kicker Jake Moody, who missed three field goals and then made the game winner ever so slightly. 44-yarder as time expired in Tampa. San Francisco wins 23-20 to open up the second half of their season in the season debut with CMC. The Buccaneers do cover as a 6.5-point underdog. Donnie, I thought we would see some more points for San Francisco. Yeah. Stayed well under a total of 50.5. The Niners are now 5-4 straight up. This is the first time in any of their five victories they did not cover as the favorite, they did not score 30 points, and that the game total stayed under. The Buccaneers have been gritty the last 2 weeks, incredibly shorthanded, and Baker Mayfield is doing everything that he can on that gridiron. It ends up in another heartbreaking loss for Tampa, but a victory for the Niners to improve to above 500 at 5-4.
Yeah, wouldn't you love to have Mike Evans yesterday out there roaming around, catching touchdown passes. Chris Godwin, he has nothing at wide receiver and still keeping his team in football games. But to be honest, Brock Purdy, 25 of 36, 353, two touchdowns, no interceptions, no turnovers, passer rating of a 119 going up against Baker Mayfield, who threw for 116 and one touchdown. This should have been a blowout. You say, why didn't the 49ers cover? Because their kicking game was horrendous yesterday. And that's an easy way when you have simple points to put on the board to extend your lead and you're not able to do that. But credit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for hanging around this one, but when you needed your field goal kicker the most, he actually finally came through for the 49ers. Yeah. McCaffrey comes back, pedestrian on the ground, 13 carries, 39 yards. Not as explosive as we would like, but just getting back into rhythm. He did have six catches for 68 yards, including a really nice one earlier in the first half. So watching this, I don't know what to grade the 49ers based on. They probably should have won the game much easier, but again, missing kicks here, yeah, as opposed to winning, let's just say 29-20, where it wasn't such a nail biter at the end. But you do have to give the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a lot of credit. Boy, they fought Kansas City. I thought Todd Bowles should have let him go for 2 points last week. Didn't they lose in overtime? Then they come home to face a rested San Francisco 49ers team and gave them all they could handle. Baker Mayfield in 4-6 doesn't seem right here, but he is fighting all the way through. Hey, Cleveland, you would have liked this fight from your quarterback, right? Yeah, I think so.
No doubt about it, DRS. The Buccaneers have covered in two straight as an underdog against two of the three teams that have the shortest price to win a Super Bowl, and yet two heartbreaking outright losses. Tampa, now 4-3 ATS as a dog this season. You mentioned Christian McCaffrey, 107 scrimmage yards because he was involved in the passing attack, 88.5% of the snaps played, courtesy of our producer, Joe Friezo, to find out the snap share for Christian McCaffrey. That's a good sign. But Jake Moody, who missed three field goals yesterday, does deliver the game winner from 44 yards out. We'll talk more missed field goals in just a moment. But DRS, now let's move on to the Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, a story on Sunday at the Star, the injury at the quarterback spot. If you weren't following along throughout the weekend, Dak Prescott more than likely going to miss the remainder of this season because of his severely injured hamstring. Philadelphia takes advantage of Cooper Rush and or Trey Lance, and the Birds win big on the road at the Star, 34-6. The Eagles cover as a road 7.5-point favorite. Total of 44 in a hook does stay under. And Donnie, Philadelphia has won five straight games. There's been a few times in this five-game win streak where it hasn't looked overly optimistic for the Birds, but they have covered in three of the five, and yesterday, for the first time in this five-game win streak, in three chances, covering when laying at least a touchdown.
And they were trying to give the football away in the first half, keeping Dallas involved. But the second half, clearly 20-0. And Dallas is a really bad football team right now from an offensive perspective. Cooper Rush was insignificant, to say the least. Looked like he never played football before. Where was the Cooper Rush of a couple years ago? He was getting starts for Dallas and actually leading them to victories. It certainly wasn't yesterday. And take a look at CeeDee Lamb. 6 catches for 21 yards. The sun is getting in the players' eyes here. Jerry's not admitting it. But the question for me coming into yesterday, Ben, was what version of the Philadelphia Eagles was I going to get? And I said it yesterday on Pro Football Today. I couldn't bet them at the 7.5. Jalen Hurts comes in with an ankle injury. You take a look at A.J. Brown, who left last week with a knee injury. Devonta Smith had a hamstring injury this week in practice he was trying to manage. Dallas Goedert coming back from a hamstring injury. So it was one of those games like, I don't know if they're going to be all in tune, but they actually didn't need to be in tune at all because the Dallas Cowboys were just horrendous yesterday. 34-6 at that point. Complete dominant effort. Also, the Eagles on the road knowing what's on the horizon Thursday night at home against the Washington Commanders. Boy, they handled their business, but I don't even want to say it was an impressive Eagles victory. It was more of Dallas's a horrible, horrible team.
Horrible team. 3-6 now this year for the Cowboys. A winless 0-4 at home and 0-4 against the number as well. They entered this season, Donnie, on a 16-game regular season home win streak prior to their loss at home and getting stunned at the Star in the playoffs last January against Green Bay. They had won 19 consecutive games overall at home. This Dallas team is awful. And you traded for Trey Lance last year. Why? I'll never know. 4 of 6 for 21 yards in a pick. Cooper Rush, 13 of 23 for 45 yards. The Dallas quarterbacks, the pair of them, Donnie, combined for 49 total passing yards. Meanwhile, Jalen Hurts had 4 total touchdowns and Philadelphia cruises now to take the top spot in the NFC East ahead of the huge game on Thursday. Again, the Birds at home at the Link, 3.5-point home favorite on a short week Thursday night game against the Commanders. The interim bump continues for New Orleans. The Saints snap a 7-game losing skid as the pride of the Garden State, Darren Rizzi, wins his debut as the interim head coach for New Orleans. The Saints triumphant at home, 20-17 outright as a 3.5-point underdog. DRS, I mentioned that field goal kicking, a huge component of yesterday. Younghoe Koo, one of the more reliable kickers in the NFL, misses 3 field goals yesterday for New Orleans, or for Atlanta, rather, as the Saints win at home in the Big Easy.
Yeah, that's a terrible performance by the Atlanta Falcons. You got to win a game against a dead-on-arrival team, and you didn't. But after the break, Ben, we have to spend some time to talk a little bit about Jerry World and the antics that went on after that football game, because I used to get angry at the media. The one question that was asked yesterday should be up for a Pulitzer Prize. It was sensational, Ben. Sensational.
Donnie's reactions continue, and then we make fun of the Jets next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's go back to what we saw on Sunday in Dallas, not the actual football game. The Philadelphia Eagles cruise to a 34-6 victory, which is kind of what the odds anticipated as a 7.5-point road favorite as the Cowboys are lost this season and, of course, at the quarterback position. But, Donnie, early in the game, as Cooper Rush was trying to throw his first touchdown pass to make it more competitive, the sun is blaring into AT&T Stadium. And as Rush rolls out to his right, he sees an open CeeDee Lamb in the back of the end zone. He tosses a pretty decent football that CeeDee never even got his hands up for because he lost it in the sun. We have seen this a few times at the state-of-the-art Jerry World, that they open the glass and they get the natural exposed light, which is beautiful for your homes, not so great for your football team. And DRS, you can take it from here.
Yeah, like if you want the sunlight to come, like isn't Jerry World a retractable roof that's somehow never open at this point? So just open the roof there. You get that nice little atmosphere. But let's understand this. Most stadiums are built accordingly to what the contractors will say. Here's what you should do. Oh, you play professional sports. Yeah, we build stadiums north to south so the sun is never in direct, iframe of your entire football game or baseball game for the majority of it. Okay, that makes some sense. Jerry World's built the exact opposite there. It's built east-west, which is hilarious. But let's get down to the point. You're right. It's so simple just to put curtains over there and make the adjustment. But for some reason, Jerry's been dug on this for 15 to 20 years, however long that stadium's been open. But credit the reporter that said, because Jerry comes out with some bizarre antics going like, well, we know a year in advance where that sun is going to be. So the reporter follows up with a banger and goes, well, does that mean Mike McCarthy's calling the wrong plays in that end zone because that's where the sun is? And Jerry just like spun out of control. So shout out the reporter thinking that quickly on his feet to blame the head coach for calling the wrong play because the sun will be in their eyes. And somehow Jerry knows when you flip the coin where the sun is going to be, and that gives you an advantage, which turns out always to be a disadvantage for the Dallas Cowboys. It's so simple. Tint the windows. Put shades over them. It's not that hard. And the fact that Jerry's like one of those, I'm never changing this because we like the sun in our eyes and we can't win football games because of it. It's so bizarre down there.
So Jerry Jones was asked, as DRS said, about this and said, quote, by the way, we know where the sun is going to be when we decide to flip the coin or not. We do know where the damn sun is going to be in our own stadium. Quote, well, let's tear the damn stadium down and build another one. Are you kidding me? DRS, I tweeted a clip out of a great Office clip where Gabe is interviewing Andy and he gets very mad about the sun and starts yelling, shut up about the sun. Shut up about the sun. Yeah. And Jerry Jones basically did that bit in real time yesterday. Absolutely sensational stuff. And Jerry Jones, in a way, throwing Mike McCarthy under the bus for being an idiot and not knowing how the solar evolutions of our planet work. He's going to be fired here very quickly. Dallas is 3 games below 500 at 3-6. Quickly to New Orleans, because Darren Rizzi, again, the pride of the Garden State. I'm sure you heard this yesterday, DRS, that our friend Joe Lisi was back in the Saints as a home underdog because he played high school football against Darren Rizzi in New Jersey. Youngwe Koo, though, for Atlanta, a reliable field goal kicker, one of the best around the NFL, misses 3 field goals. Kirk Cousins threw for 306, no touchdowns, but an interception. Bijan Robinson, 116 yards and 2 TDs on the ground. Atlanta outgained New Orleans by more than 100 yards, 468 to 365. And yet, because Youngwe Koo missed those 3 field goals, the Saints are able to triumph, including Kaimi Fairbairn at the end of the game yesterday. It was a 58-yarder. He had already made a 56-yarder in the opening half. 11 missed field goals yesterday, 2 blocked field goals, 2 muffed punts, and now 3 walk-off winners. Special teams, all 3 phases, an important component of all the action we saw on the NFL Week 10 Sunday slate.
Yeah, like imagine losing yesterday. Kirk Cousins, 306 in the air. Bijan, 116 on the ground. Your backup running back, 59 on the ground. Your top wide receiver, 97 in the air. Your backup, your number 2, 96 in the air. And you lose that game. But also, a big shout out yesterday on the set of Pro Football Today. Darren Rizzi, who I've heard more of in the last week than I can handle from one of our co-hosts here, Joe Lisi, was actually doing a segment with Dr. David Chow. And Joe used one of his segments to say, new head coach in New Orleans, Darren Rizzi, is the actual injury report going to change because he's the new head coach? Blew my mind on the set yesterday as we continue to talk about this coach who is insignificant, but somehow the actual injury report is going to change because they're going to make more players play injured because Rizzi's the head football coach. That's the analysis you get, baby. We love it.
Hour 2, it's up next.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.